For thousands of years, cannabis, or marijuana, has been used by human beings in a variety of applications, not the least of which being its so-called recreational properties, its ability to induce a state of mild euphoria, enhancing creativity, mystical pursuits, lovemaking, and leisure, to name but a few. Archaeologists agree that cannabis was among the first crops purposely cultivated by human beings, at least 6,000 years ago, and perhaps as much as 12,000 years ago. Before industrial civilization reared its ugly head, cannabis was used as a raw material for many of society's most basic needs. The most resourceful crop on Earth, cannabis yields industrial hemp for canvas, oil, fiber, textiles, and paper, among other things. A harmless medicine for a number of illnesses, including cancer, glaucoma, and multiple sclerosis, and a source of recreation for millions of people around the world. Then, at the beginning of the 20th century, a small group of powerful elites conspire to downplay, if not completely eradicate, hemp's many beneficial uses, while at the same time focusing exclusively on demonizing and finally criminalizing the cultivation, sale, and even the possession of marijuana for any purpose. Hemp prohibition is the result of propaganda by individuals connected to and profiting from the petrochemical, cotton, and wood-based paper industries. These arrogant and small-minded men foresaw competition from hemp. Virtually anything that can be made from petroleum can also be made from hemp seed oils at a much smaller cost, and hemp fiber is many times more durable and resourceful than cotton or wood-based paper. Furthermore, hemp threatens the immense power of the pharmaceutical industry and the medical establishment. It threatens to significantly impact their massive profits. But more than that, it offers freedom from the faceless medical monolith, the freedom to grow and procure one's own medicine, the freedom to decide how much medicine to take and when, and finally, the freedom from toxic and highly addictive pharmaceuticals. It is no wonder, then, that billions of taxpayers' dollars are spent each year on maintaining the farce that we have come to know as the war on drugs. But perhaps that war is coming to an end. Many stores in Canada now sell hemp products, clothing, paper, food, and so forth. And Health Canada recently began issuing licenses for the medical use of marijuana. The drug is still technically illegal, but the government has at least come to acknowledge the medicinal value of cannabis. This past Saturday on Elephant Talk, Julie Chadwick and myself, James Booker, spoke with local health activist Pam Edgar. Pam had just received her medical marijuana license in the mail.
I like marijuana. I like marijuana.
All right, there's a little bit of Country Joe and the Fish with a song called, you guessed it, Marijuana. So, we are joined now by our guest, Pam Edgar, who is a local community member and health activist and advocate, I think you could say. And Pam just received her medical marijuana license in the mail. So, good morning, Pam, and thank you for being here.
Good morning, and this is my pleasure. I've been hiding in plain view for quite a while talking about medicinal marijuana. I'll talk about anybody who wants to have the conversation, especially if somebody who's dealing with chronic pain, specifically multiple sclerosis, is curious to find alternative treatments, methods of treating your symptoms.
So, yeah, let's start talking about, before we get to talking about the license specifically, about the, you know, what marijuana does for you specifically. Like, how has it changed your life? Has it changed your life?
Freed me up a great deal. When you're taking pharmaceuticals by means of, in a form of analgesic, which is a painkiller, or you're taking something to improve your mood, you are bound to take those every so many hours. They are in your body constantly. So are their side effects. Medicinal marijuana, or marijuana used medicinally, because marijuana and medicinal marijuana are still the same substance. There's no difference between the two. Marijuana is marijuana. It's the use of it that makes the difference. You can self-medicate, as you were saying earlier. If I don't need it, I don't use it. But when I need it, I use it. And I use it in the form that I need to best treat the symptoms I'm trying to treat. With having multiple sclerosis, I have spasms, I have tremors, I have problems with my eyes. I have chronic pain from an injury from 30 years ago. I have osteoarthritis, so there's inflammation. I'm also asthmatic, so it has an expectorant property as well. If I want to use it as a muscle relaxant, really a whole body effect, then it needs to be ingested. If I want to use it to sedate me, to put me to sleep, to relax me, a tea infused in tea is most useful. If it's for pain or anti-inflammatory, smoking it. So you
it's you're not just using it for multiple sclerosis. It works for, I think it's very interesting that it works for asthma, because so much of the government propaganda that we hear says that it's, you know, it's bad for your lungs. It's
it makes you cough.
One joint is like smoking a whole pack of cigarettes and all of this stuff, the amount of tar, and yet it makes you cough, so it clears you out, right?
Yes, it does. Yeah. It's supposed to make you cough. It's supposed to make you breathe deep. If you don't do breathing exercises, if you don't take a deep breath, then yes, it is going to make you cough. But that's because you need to take a deep breath once in a while. Breathing and meditation is also a wonderful method of pain treatment. And when you smoke marijuana, it makes you focus. It makes me. These are my opinions. This is my experience. And I don't want everybody to go out there and go, oh, we all need to get stoned. Not true. You need to learn about it. It's a big responsibility, because you are self-medicating.
Have you found that there, for you, there is any side effects with marijuana?
Yeah, I get hungry and I get tired.
Right.
Okay, those are beneficial side effects.
Okay, that's good then.
Negative ones, no. Dry mouth, guess what? That's because your body's already dehydrated. It opens your body up. It opens you up to feel what your body's feeling. If you haven't had a painless moment and you smoke marijuana or you ingest marijuana or you drink tea made from marijuana for this first time, you're going to get nausea, because your body's going, oh my God, what have you been doing to me? And it's really upset with you, for heaven's sakes. If you hold your pain in your abdomen, and when you smoke, ingest, or drink marijuana and it relaxes you, all of a sudden you're hungry. You've got the munchies. Chances are you hold everything tight in your abdomen, so you don't allow yourself to eat as much as you should or digest as much as you should.
Well, I know from our interview with Robert Melamed, who is biology chair, he said that there's cannabinoids in mother's milk, which is what stimulates babies first to want to eat, right? So, I mean, there you go. That's, you know, so it's a good thing, like you said. It's not a bad thing to want to eat or to want to have a nap or something like
that. No, it's not. The other thing with cannabinoids is they are your natural healer that turns on the healing, the growing aspect of our bodies. So when you're taking pharmaceutical analgesics, quite often they turn them off. They numb you. People talk around, I feel really lethargic. I feel really goggy. I can't think. And quite often that's the side effect of the analgesics. We have a society who thinks we should never be in pain. Look at how many painkillers we have. I'm thinking you kind of need the pain so your body knows where it needs to heal.
That's a really good point, yeah. But the, so does marijuana not then, it doesn't kill the pain?
Oh, no, no.
And
no.
How does it help you cope with pain?
It lets me realize what the pain is. I will go into my body and say, okay, this is how much I need to hurt today to get through my day. And that's okay. It's numbing all the pain. Like, some pain is good pain.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well, like getting a good massage, right? Like it often hurts.
But. Or the next day you're going to go, why did I do that? Yeah. But yeah, yeah, it is. When you exercise, you actually overstress your muscles to build a muscle. So you actually injure your muscle, because the build, the recovery is a bigger, stronger muscle.
And does it just change your perception of the pain then?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It helps me understand what it is. Also, I can identify a new pain. But I've dealt with a lot of different kinds of pain. Pain is a general statement. Bone pain, soft tissue pain, emotional pain. And in emotional pain, again, there's a whole bunch in there. There's grief, there's loss, there's frustration, there's anger.
And then that can affect your physical body as well. Like there's
almost definitely.
Big shift between two.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Is there pain associated with multiple sclerosis?
Yes.
And what sort of pain is it, and what does marijuana help you with in that regard?
MS is a total different pain. When I was first diagnosed with MS, I was so relieved to know that there was so much information about it, because I needed to understand this kind of pain. I'm used to pain during my left side where my injuries are. When my right side started arguing with me, I thought, no, we're not going to do this. This is a muscle pain. This is a soft tissue pain. This feels like I'm always recovering from overdoing it in the gym. And that's by with doing nothing. Also, nerve pain. And I describe nerve pain as like having a toothache, the surface. But a toothache is very small. The surface of my nerve pain can go around my chin, up over my left eye or my right eye, down the side of my nose, and cover that entire part of my body. And you can't see it, right? You can't tell I'm in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can. I know when it's there. So being able to deal with that kind of pain and still be able to function, in order to take the type of analgesic that would knock that pain out, knocks the rest of me out too.
Right.
I can't function. For me, the side effects are very adverse. I don't have little side effects. I'm that one in 1,000 that they write those sheets out for you.
Mm. Yeah, and so I've heard people say that sometimes if they're taking painkillers, people have often thought that they were an alcoholic or that they were drunk all the time, and they found that really socially alienating.
Yes, yes. Well, I've talked to people about the use of marijuana medicinally, and the comment from groups have been, wow, you don't act like a pothead. That's because I'm not. I could be one if you wanted me to, but no. And that confuses people. They think as soon as you smoke that first joint, as soon as you inhale that first puff, that's it, you're a pothead.
Yeah.
I think
there are certainly the stereotypical potheads out there.
Of course.
But I think even in the sort of the vast majority of the recreationally smoking population, the pothead kind of mentality is only about 10% of that, I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's back to the one bad apple, right?
Yeah.
One bad comment as opposed to 10 compliments. What are you going to remember? That one bad comment. The
exactly.
Compliments just fly off. The same thing with the addiction to other.
Other
painkillers over the cough medicines. Flu, anything that's over the counter, they can be used to the extreme as well. So it's not just medicinal marijuana or marijuana being overused. All the drugs are being overused. That's a personal responsibility, and I have a problem when the government tries to take that away from you.
Yeah, pharmaceuticals are bleeding over as well into, like, I've read stories about it's a popular thing among teenagers now, like sort of I don't know whether this is technically a painkiller, but things like Valium and stuff being taken from their parents' cupboards and, you know, being used. And so, yeah.
If you're not taking it to treat something, then you're abusing it.
Right.
So
let's talk about before you discovered that marijuana could benefit your life. What sort of pain meds were you taking for MS? Like, how many and what were they?
And long before MS, when I was in the accident in 1975, it was serious injuries. I had a lot of surgeries, and I was still trying to maintain my high school, go through high school. I wanted to graduate with all my friends, for heaven's sake. So 3.5 months in traction, I don't know how many hours of surgery for the first 4 years, which is while I was going through school. Accident was 75. I graduated in 79, and I graduated with really substantial marks. The first time I tried marijuana was at the backfield of the junior high school I went to, because everybody else was. Everybody got goofy, and I realized I was walking better. Okay, this is kind of cool, you guys.
Wow.
The pharmaceuticals I was on had to be taken at a certain time. They had to be maintained in a level. As soon as it got into my system, I couldn't think. I couldn't concentrate. I was in math class or a science class, and nothing is making sense to me. I can't control how my body is spasming over it. Plus, the side effects of intestinal, gastrointestinal, not very nice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so.
Wow. Mm-mm. And a lot of that stuff, too, is it's so horribly addictive.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe marijuana is. I know there's people out there, you know, again, sort of the government propaganda that tries to say that it has dependent properties, but
I don't think it's the addiction to the drug. I think it's the addiction of the reaction to the drug. I prefer to be pain-free. That would be nice if I could, you know. But that's not going to happen with me, and that's okay. But if you have an injury, and you're given these drugs, and you're told to take them and take them and take them and take them and take them, and now your body is starting to heal, because physically that's what happens. What happens is, as your body starts to heal, that drug is far going less to that healing place where the injury is or the recovery is, and it's going to the rest of you, because you've still got all that drug in your body, and what does it do with you? So it gives you that feeling of elation. So now that you're being taken away from those drugs, you'll find more drugs, and it's the sensation, I think, that's the addiction. It's not the drug. I think the addiction is actually...
Yeah, definitely.
More than that.
So when, you know, I guess did there come a time when you just said in your life, okay, enough with the pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, 17. I was having severe side effects from the drugs and just starting to deal with osteoarthritis and just starting to deal with the side effects from Tylenol 3 that they gave you after every surgery, because they needed you to be calm. They needed you to be able to handle the pain in order to start with the healing. And I realized that I was only 17. I had a long way to go. Mm-hmm. And if I was going to start using those drugs, then what would I be like now? What kind of effect is that going to have on one, a growing body, which I was already starting to realize. I had to learn a lot about myself really, really fast. Or I didn't have to. I chose to. And wanted to stay active. I wanted to stay involved. I didn't want to turn into a, I don't know what word to use. I really was a gush. Nothing made sense to me sometimes. And when I was trying to deal with what was going on around me, I was having a hard time with cognitive thought. I couldn't solve problems. And I'm a problem solver. I'm a communicator. And if I can't form a sentence, something's not good.
So then when you took marijuana instead, how is that different then?
It was very sporadic for the first number of years through my teens. My friends would go out and drink. And I didn't want the alcohol because from time to time I was still taking the pharmaceuticals because I had no choice. After a surgery, and I lived at home. And marijuana wasn't actually all that available to me either. Mm. So I learned a lot about you don't mix drugs with alcohol.
Yeah.
And I became very isolated in it. I was more than happy to be on the receiving end of a toke at a party. And they would go into the living room and just, you know, drone on the music, the combination of marijuana, alcohol, and whatever else they were taking. I'd go in the kitchen and do their dishes because I felt good. I could do something. Or I'd sit and have a conversation with that person who was really in that corner by themselves, because I know what it felt like to be that person in that corner.
Hmm.
And
so at this
or
point,
I'd mess with your mind.
had you heard of marijuana being medicinal, or was this just some kind of like, wow, this is weird, I'm having this experience and I don't really know why, but it's working for me? Like, did you know that other people thought of it as a medicinal thing at that point?
Not so much. Not really. It was pretty my reaction to it.
That's neat.
And it wasn't until, well, I've always been very open and very honest with my doctors. After I had my daughter and I had some serious problems then, I didn't want to use anything around my pregnancy, anything at all, so marijuana included. But when I got the nausea that came with some of the things, that's what I went back to. I've always had something squirreled away in a corner to note, because I knew the properties that it had for me and the benefits. So I always told my doctors that I don't want to take that, and you're going to write that out, and I'm not going to take that, so don't write it out. Or I'll take a few of those, but I'm not going to take them the way you prescribe them, and told them why. And been very honest with all my doctors. Going into surgery, I'm not going to lie to the guy who's giving me the anesthetic that I don't smoke something.
Yeah.
That'd be foolish.
Sure.
So, and educating my doctors about it. When I was diagnosed with MS, the neurologist said, I can't wait to see what we learn from you. Because I did use it. Marijuana is approved for glaucoma. It really makes a difference with my eyes. When my eye goes into a spasm, it's the only thing that calms it down.
Wow.
I can't imagine going through a day where this eye is vibrating, where I can't look at anything. I can see everything, but I can't focus on a thing. That's really annoying.
It's for glaucoma. Is it ingested?
I don't know.
Or smoked?
Smoked.
Yeah.
Smoked, I believe. But I do. I will ingest it when I'm having a bad time with muscle spasms. And what it lets me do is get into the spasm, work my way through it, and then pull myself back out. So that the next time that spasm happens, I can do it without the marijuana. It gives me a safe environment to learn about pain and what I can do about it.
So let's come back to the doctors. How receptive have doctors been, your doctors, over the years? You know, what happened at first, and walk us through that.
Well, pretty much because of the way I am and my experience with chronic pain and injuries, as well as multiple sclerosis and other things that pop up. I'm human too, right? I don't, you know, I get all the other hazards that we get to experience as having a human body, because I do so well with it, because I explain so much. I am very responsible for my personal health. So when I say something to my doctors, they really pay attention. I'm not some sloughing it off, and I bring information to them.
Mm.
Like, here, read this. I've had doctors go, oh my God, this is marijuana. Yeah, I know. You want to sit down and have a chat about it? And we do. but it, and like they whispered as soon as they see the forms. And I've said, the first ones that came, I've been following this for years. 1999 is the first dated document I have in my file. I got the first forms, federal forms, for applying for medicinal marijuana back in 2001. Took them to my doctor and said, here, take a look at this and don't sign it. If you do, we won't have a relationship anymore because you've just given up your Hippocratic Oath. They're asking you to do something you don't have any knowledge about doing. They want you to prescribe a dosage for a drug you know nothing about.
Health Canada wants the doctor to do this.
Yeah. And then they wanted me to go through every drug that I've ever taken, list all the side effects, and why I can't use them. I have a 30-year...
In order to qualify for medical marijuana?
Yeah, this is back in 2001.
And they sent you the forms? Like, they actually approached you, or was that
I phoned them and said, send me the forms, and I've gone under the assumption that once you have my address and you know I've requested the forms, I'm in the process. So I started becoming more open about it, more open about the research, more open about talking to people. So as far as I was concerned, from 2001, I could start getting a little bit louder and take the stuff to my doctors. They wanted, Health Canada wanted the doctor to say how much, how often, what method, how many plants. Doctors know nothing about this, as well as needing to know all my past medical history. Once they have the diagnosis, that's irrelevant.
What did your doctor say that, you know, did he say anything about whether or not he felt comfortable in prescribing this in an amount? Did he say, I don't know how many plants you need?
He knows nothing about this. The only thing he'd learned about marijuana was through me. Same thing with my neurologist. I took this to him and said, okay, read this, don't sign it.
It seems like a glaring error that Health Canada missed. I mean,
like, why not at least do an education program for doctors first and then start prescribing
it? Well, part of the problem with the policy program is this is still an illegal drug. No matter how you look at it, it's still an illegal drug. Yeah. I've got a pass to use it medicinally. Now, I listen to friends who talk about, you know, every once in a while I take a token. It really just relaxes me. Okay, now, did you know you're using that as an antidepressant? And actually, therapeutically?
Hmm.
You're not just a pot smoker.
Mm-hmm.
You're using it to calm down. You're using it to deal with an anxiety attack. You're using it to deal with, but you're using it to deal with it at the moment it's happening, not needing to keep that pharmaceutical again in your body that entire time. What happens when you take an antidepressant is it brings you up from your lows, but it also brings you down from your highs. Mm. So you have a monotone. When you're using marijuana for that purpose, you can take a little bit, deal with it, look at what the issue is, how you're feeling about it, and deal with it next time it comes along, as opposed to numbing everything.
And then have the highs as well. Just help it.
Yeah, because they're important.
Yeah.
And so are the lows. Yeah. I got to tell you, you know, it's a full spectrum, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good point, because especially when you think of something like any of the MAO, what are they called? The MAO inhibitors, the Prozacs and the Paxils, the doctors start you on them and they say, this isn't going to take effect for a few weeks. You've got to build up to a level. And then, if you say you want to come off them, like, oh, you can't do that.
No, and it's going to be slow.
Yeah,
because they're dealing with the symptom, not the issue that's causing the symptom. Instead of saying to their patient, why are you feeling this way? Or sending them to somebody who can say to that person, why are you feeling this way? What's causing this? And helping you work through the issue, they're treating the symptom. It's kind of like MS. They don't know what causes it. They don't know so there's no cure for it. So they treat the symptoms. I have a problem with a drug that's going to treat a symptom that we don't know what's causing it.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and something that's going to take weeks to get out of my system.
Sort of groping around in the dark in a way.
Yeah.
So back to 2001.
Yeah.
So you give your doctor the forms from Health Canada.
Yep.
Now, how long, when did these forms first come out? Like back in 1980, for instance, there were no such forms,
no,
right?
No, I think this program actually was put through the federal government, Health Canada, back in 2000, 2001, because I've been really on top of this.
Okay.
Since the 1990s.
So you had your doctor look at these forms.
No,
I
read
them.
Okay. I read them. First thing they did was I read page by page and came up with arguments and why not to's and that's none of your business. And yeah, I don't think so. You have, you know, like, right. Really? Yeah, that's none of your business. I phoned the hospital to find out how much it was going to cost me to go into archived files to get all they needed about the drugs that I'd been on and can't take because of. $60 an hour. Okay, they don't cover that cost. All right.
Wow.
Yeah, so... No,
it seems like just an amazing stupidity, an amazing amount of stupidity to say, you know, let's say over the years you've had, you know, been prescribed 10 different pharmaceutical medications for various things.
Yep.
And they want you to list which ones they are and why you can't take them in order for you to take this one drug that works for all of them.
Here's the original form.
I wonder why they, you know.
And the envelope it came in.
It really sounds to me like they're pushing the pharmaceuticals over. Certainly, that's what they're doing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because they have more control over those.
I think they can make more money off of them, too.
Maybe it's harder for the mainstream medical establishment and the government to understand as well how marijuana works, because it's not, as you were saying earlier, it's not this straight up thing where you take it and the pain's gone and you're numb and that's it. It's a much more complex and involved process where you're a participant and you're
active participant.
Yeah, it's it reacts to how you're thinking about it and using it.
And if you've been taught that you should never be in pain or we're going to keep you out of pain, then you're afraid of it.
Yeah.
Because if you've never experienced it and you don't know a good pain from a bad pain. Yeah. Yeah. And recovery pain is important. It's going to hurt. Go figure how you break something that's going to hurt before it fixes. Come on.
Or while it's fixing. Or, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's really important that we've been sort of spoiled by these pain medications where we don't want to be in pain and we don't want to. And I think you're bang on. Like, I mean, for sure, if you burn yourself,
yes,
the pain there is a message. Get your hand away from the stove or whatever it is.
Yes, and as it starts to itch and feel very uncomfortable, that's the new growth underneath. It's supposed to feel that way too. It doesn't mean I don't use pharmaceuticals. When I need them, by all means I do. But for short term, if I mess my knee up and I need to go on analgesic anti-inflammatory, yes, I will do that to help my knee recover. For short term, it has its uses. I have a problem with these things for long term. I know that when I'm on those drugs, though, like I put a note on my fridge for what it is I need to do for the first 4 days I'm on them, because I really do have the side effects. I will not balance my checkbook. There are some conversations I won't have. I will not do any editing or editing writing, and I will tell my daughter and two close friends to check on me daily. When it says caution working heavy machinery, to me that's a knife and a fork. I don't have the coordination to use them both. And MS messes me up like that enough, so when a drug does it, I get a little pissed off.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, if the drug is going to cause a symptom of MS to be bigger, why would I do that?
Yeah.
I'd rather, you know, maintain as much as I can with MS as well as the other stuff.
Right. So back to the process of how you came to get the license. I guess it's very important for people like you to be very proactive with what's going on, because I guess you're helping to form the legislation and as it's going.
I do a lot of talking to people. I phone them and say, okay, look, you guys, this doesn't make any sense. It's not going to happen. So, and talk to the doctors and talk to the people that are actually having to fill these forms out and make them aware of what's going on. I follow the process of this form actually becoming a much more agreeable form. I'm sure there are doctors out there that a patient really needs the marijuana. They're more than willing to sign that. I don't think that's fair to do to my doctor, and I wouldn't ask him to compromise his morals or his ethics in order to satisfy our federal government. I think that's a really poor message.
Mm-hmm.
So waiting until the program became more suitable, became more responsibility on me. They took the word out recommended dosage and recommended usage.
Mm.
So that softened it. They no longer require all the drugs I've been on and all the side effects I've ever had, and they still require a diagnosis. Yes, of course, that makes sense. But they have also accepted now another form that takes the onus off the doctor. It's a release form for the medical practitioner, whereas before that wasn't accepted. So this says that even though they are recommending a usage for medicinal marijuana, they're not liable. I am.
That's really interesting. It seems, in a way, it's also helping change the entire way that medicines are used and looked at, and that's pretty interesting.
It's kind of a whole medicine approach, which is really important because it's a whole body.
And it's being put into official legislation.
Yeah, yeah. And I think whenever our health takes the political air, we're losing our health. And these forms and information are available to everybody who has access to the internet. And one of the things that I had a hard time when I'm researching what's going on with the law, with what Health Canada is saying, with whatever else is going on, is the spelling of marijuana. There's actually three different spellings of marijuana, and every time you input that in a Google search or any search engine, you end up with different information the different way you spell it. Hmm. It's this nifty little camouflage.
Hmm.
So what is the way that, for example, the government spells it?
Federally, and it's different provincially too, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, is M-A-R-I-H-U-N-A.
Hmm.
U-A-N-A, sorry.
The anglicized version.
Yes.
Marijuana.
Marijuana, yep.
And then provincially it's spelled
with a J.
Is that because we're British Columbia?
I'm sure it has something to do with something that's very important to someone or somewhere.
So if people are looking for the forms on the internet, they're federal forms that you would have to fill out? And so that you have to spell it with an H, so like the Government of Canada.
Yep. Go to the Health Canada website, and it's under drugs and health products. And then you'll go scroll down to medicinal marijuana, and it has all the legislation. It has the act. It has how to apply. It has the forms.
And so basically you waited until there was a form that you felt reflected more what you wanted to do with marijuana, and then that was when you decided to go for it?
Yep.
So how recent was that?
This year. It took them that long. Yeah.
It's still good that they did change, that they listened to recommendations and that they changed it to...
There was too much pressure not to from a lot of disabled groups.
Wow.
And a number of disabilities who aren't on the list of diagnosis.
You're listening to CHLY 101.7 on your FM dial, www.chly.ca on the web. This is a rebroadcast of Elephant Talk, heard every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. This past Saturday, we were speaking with Pam Edgar about medical marijuana.
So do people find it, or did you find it really difficult once you signed the papers and things? Like, I know it was a long process from 2001, I'm sure, but after the forms were filled out, like, was the government being difficult with you? Or?
Well, it took about 6 weeks to fill out the forms because I had to send them a photograph of me that's a... call it passport photo, so smile, no nothing. You have to have that done. It has to be a certain size. You have to send them to. You have to take it to your doctor. Your doctor has to sign it. Your doctor has to sign the form. Your doctor has to sign the other form, or two doctors have to sign the form. Then you put it in the mail, and I photocopy everything because I've been doing this stuff for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I mailed them on September 5th. I got the forms in February. It took me from February to September to get them all filled out, to get all the I's dotted, T's crossed, put them in the mail. 6 to 8 weeks is what I was told. On August 2nd at 8:30 in the morning, I answer a phone call from Health Canada. They've changed a few of their programs and policies and need to update the information before they can approve this. You've already had this for 6 to 8 weeks. You're just getting to it now? Yeah. So we talked about what it was that they were changing. Didn't change anything that was on the form, what this little card in the mail said. It just, they needed to let me know that not buying it from them was still illegal. Okay, so still nothing's changed. Okay.
Not buying it from
like
Health Canada?
Health Canada.
It actually
comes with a price list, how much you're going to use.
Can I see the price list?
So you can see the whole thing. I brought you copy for this. This is the form. How's that for a paper?
Holy smokes.
I know.
Yeah. It's almost like a book. It's like a manuscript.
It really is.
Yeah, and it's very funny.
So the main change then that they were asking or they wanted to tell you was just that you can't buy it on the street, by the way.
Yeah, did you? No, actually, and I'm applying to grow it. So I wouldn't be buying it on the street.
My question when I see this form is it possible to smoke a joint and then fill out the form?
It's funnier. It really is. It's funnier. Actually, when I smoke, my handwriting improves. So, yeah, because sometimes it's pretty scrawly. So that phone call came on August 2nd at 8:30 in the morning. And we had this very heated conversation. I'm going, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Was pretty much all I needed to say. I was offended that she phoned at 8:30 in the morning. If you're applying for medicinal marijuana, you could probably deduce that the person might have chronic conditions. Hey.
Mm.
Anyway, so how long is it going to be from now? Oh, another 6 to 8 weeks. We are now starting the process. So it arrived in the mail on June 10th. So that's how long it took once I actually got the forms, read them, and went, yep, okay, this series I can take to my doctor and I can be comfortable with him signing it. I don't want to put him in a compromising... Why would I do that?
So that was June 10th of this year?
Yep.
Wow. It's interesting as well, this as a bit of an aside, just what you're saying about how your writing improves. It's just interesting how marijuana has different effects on different people.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody else, like myself, took it, my writing might get worse. So it has different effects. It
depends on what you're using it for.
Yeah.
Right? I'm using it to control muscle movement. Fine motor skills are, for me, affected quite severely with MS. A fine motor skill is cutting my fingernails. Filing my nails, writing out a grocery list, things that I do. I stopped wearing makeup because I was getting tired of poking myself in the eye with the mascara. Things like that.
Yeah.
It's fine motor skills, and I just, I like finger food. Don't put a piece of utensil in between me and my food. I mean, seriously. But that's what MS does. Turning pages some days is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow, it's actually a pretty good price, $5 a gram. Roughly.
If it had any quality to it, that would be good.
Oh, is it still the stuff that was grown in the mine in Flin Flon?
I believe so.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. And when we talk about the research that's been done with medicinal marijuana, the other comment that's just come out in this magazine and others that I brought for you to look at is that the marijuana that they've been using for drug research isn't the quality that it should be. So The
results are
not
the same.
No,
yeah.
No, they don't have the same validity to them.
So, well, let me ask you this. The license, I believe, says that you can possess up to 150 grams
yep.
on your person.
Yep.
There's a lot of stuff on this license.
Yes, and I'm offended by that.
Yeah.
That frightens me.
Authorization to possess dried marijuana, personal use production license. Then your address, your date of birth, and all of that stuff. The site of the where it's produced.
Yeah,
kind of strange,
yep.
isn't it?
I don't like that.
But so it says here that you can have up to 25 plants indoor,
mm-hmm.
none outdoor.
Nope.
And that you can store just over a kilo, and that you can carry around 150 grams. So if you're carrying around 150 grams and the police pull you over, you show them the license,
mm-hmm.
is there any way that they could tell that you didn't get it from the federal government?
No.
So that's kind of a pointless law.
Moot point, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And what's going to happen?
I mean, I guess they could smoke a few joints, and if they didn't get high, they would know it's not from the federal government. But
yeah, right. Good point. Yeah.
Something else I was wondering about is there laws about imbibing in public? Like, for example, if you're drinking a marijuana tea, like, is that something you can do anywhere? Or
I would prefer not to. I won't.
Yeah.
But that's my personal thing. I'm very discreet. Because I'm out in the community. I I live with people, hey? And although I speak very openly about it, especially to groups of people with MS and other chronic conditions, I'm going to be very discreet, which is also being very responsible as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And so does the government have any laws or any recommendations? Like, was that part of the form as to how you used it and whether it was in public?
You know,
or
there's
not,
no
or?
Mention of that.
Yeah,
there really isn't. That's an interesting point,
yeah.
actually.
Just because I know that, that you know, like if a police officer sees you smoking a joint in the street, they're not usually that harsh about it. They'll just tell you to put it away or something. But it would be interesting to see what happened if...
Yeah.
We just had a call, and the caller wanted to know if the marijuana that Health Canada provides is organically grown.
I couldn't tell you. I have no idea.
My guess would be no.
I would think no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be...
I don't know if Health Canada does any sort of organics.
Then again, though, I think that they probably would outsource the job to somebody who knows more about
yeah,
it.
They are.
You know what I mean?
They're going to do
that,
yeah. Subcontract, yeah.
The initial project, the Flin Flon mine fiasco, that wasn't outsourced. That was done by them, and it was... botched.
Oh, you mean when they were growing it in a disused mine shaft?
Yeah. In Flin Flon, Manitoba, right?
Yep.
I vaguely remember the story. I can't remember the details, but yep.
And that was the actual government doing it themselves. Like, not it wasn't necessarily.
Well, I'm not sure how
how it worked. All right, I just wanted to thank Pam for coming in and sharing a real eye-opening interview with us. A lot of things that I've never thought about and didn't know, especially thanks for sharing your personal stories about your experience with MS. And yeah, it's hard sometimes, yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity, because these are topics that people don't often talk about, let alone hear a good conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on Living on Purpose a number of times, and we've talked about chronic pain and medicinal marijuana. And afterwards, I usually end up with a phone call or two. Really, and that's the connection, that one person that needs to know. That's wonderful. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm going to peruse these this form. I think it's very interesting.
And if people are interested in getting the forms or learning more about it, there is the Health Canada website where remember that they spell it with an H, marijuana. And do you have any other
Compassion Club. Check out what the Compassion Club has to offer. Find some information. Cannabis Health is another journal that's really important. It's a good one to follow. Check it out. Do your research. Find out about the drugs. Find out about the reactions. And talk to somebody who hopefully is using it that can help you through it. Because it's something that you really shouldn't just jump into. It's not a cure-all. It's not that.
Mm-hmm.
This is to help you more than anything else.
Yeah, and that is actually a great magazine. The Cannabis Health, as Julia said earlier off-air, it's not the like the High Times with pictures of scantily clad women in hemp bikinis. It's a real sort of information source.
Yeah, kind of trying to break some stereotypes here.
Yeah. All right. We are going to go to some music, and then we're going to hear the weekly Normal news segment. Normal is the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws. And thanks again, Pam Edgar. Here is some stereotyping for you. Fats Waller and Reefer Man.
Hey, cat. It's 4:00 in the morning. I just left of this studio. Here we are in Harlem. Everybody's here but the police, and they'll be here any minute. It's high time. So catch this song. Here it is. For 5 feet long, a mighty mess, but not too strong. You'll be high, but not for long. If you're a viper, I'm the king of everything. I gotta be high before I swing. Let the bells ring, ding dong ding. If you're a viper, say you know you're high when your throat gets dry. Everything's dandy. Oh, yes, you run down to the candy store. Bust your conch on peppermint candy. Then you know your little brown body scent. You don't give a darn if you don't pay rent. 'Cause the sky is high, so am I, yes, yes. Yes, I vibe a bit. Well, I'm gonna vibe a bit on 88 now. Oh, stop it, darling. I didn't know you cared. That's enough now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me dream now. Killer. Yes, baby. Better next out on the sidelines than my wife's in here tonight. She don't vibe either. You know, get away. Are you kidding? Oh, dear. Say you know you're high. Yes, I know I'm high. 'Cause everything is fine dandy. Yes, gone down to the candy store. Get me Wrigley's or some peppermint candy. I love it, I love it, I love it. Yes, baby, but my body's saying, I ain't worried about no rent. Get away from me, you hussy. Yeah. High, high, so have I. I'm all laid out and relaxed. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Order. Don't smoke. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. It's a $9 billion capitalist communist joke. Don't smoke, 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 don't smoke. Smoking makes you cough, you can't sing straight. You gargle on saliva and you vomit on your plate. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, 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 smoke. You smoke on bed, you smoke on the hill, you smoke till you're dead, you smoke in living hell. Don't smoke, 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 don't smoke, nope, 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 don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, the official dope, to dope, 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 don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. You puff your fag, you chuck your butt, you choke and gag, teeth full of crud. Don't smoke, don't, dope, 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 don't, don't, dope, don't, dope, don't, dope, don't, dope, don't, dope, don't, dope. Pay your $2 for Deathly Pack. Trust your bad luck and smoke in the sack. Don't smoke, don't smoke, nicotine, nicotine, nope, nope, don't smoke, the official dope. So dope, 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 don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. $4 billion in greens, what Madison Avenue gets. Advertise nicotine and hook you Soho brats. Don't smoke, don't smoke, dope, 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 hoax, 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 hoax. Dopey, dopey, dope, dopey, dopey, dope, dopey, dope, dopes, dopey, dope, dope, dopey, dope, dopes, dopey, dope, dope, dopey, dope, dopey, dope, dopey, 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 dopey. Black magic pushes dope, sexy chicks in cars. America loses hope and smokes and drinks in bar. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. Choke, 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 cough, 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 choke, choke. Don't smoke, don't, 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 don't. Communism's flopped. Let's help the Soviet billions. Sell them our coffin nails and make a couple billion. Big bucks, 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 smoke, 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 smoke. Bucks, smoke, bucks, smoke, bucks, smoke, bucks. Smoke, bucks, smoke, bucks, smoke, bucks, smoke, bucks. Dope, big, dope, bucks, dig, big, dope, bucks. Dig, big, dope, bucks, dig, big, dope, bucks, dig, big, big, dope, bucks. Big, 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 dope bucks, dope bucks, dope bucks, don't smoke, dope bucks, don't smoke, dope bucks, big, 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 dope bucks, dope bucks, dope, 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 over dope bucks. $9 billion a year, a southern industry by Senator Jesse Feer, who pushes tobacco subsidy in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Dope smoke, cloakroom dope, cloakroom dope, smokes where there's smoke, there's fire. Cloakroom dope, cloakroom dope, cloakroom dope, cloakroom dope, don't smoke, don't smoke, that cloakroom dope, 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 dope. $9 billion for dope, approved by Time and Life. America loses hope. Even President Clinton smokes tobacco votes. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't, 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 don't smoke, don't smoke. 20,000 die of coke or illegal speed each year. 430,000 cigarette deaths. That's the drug to fear. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. Get hooked on cigarettes. Go fight the war on drugs. Smoke any other weed. Get bust by government thugs. Don't smoke, don't smoke, the official dope, the government dope, don't smoke, dope, 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 don't smoke, the official dope. If you will get in bed and give your girlfriend head, then you won't want a fag or ever more a drag. Don't smoke, don't smoke, oh, 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 please, don't smoke, oh, please, oh, please, I'm calling on my knees. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. Hours in bed and give your boyfriend head. Put something in your mouth like skin, not cigarette filth. Suck tit, suck tit, suck cock, suck cock, suck clit, suck prick, suck it, but don't smoke nicotine. Don't smoke, don't smoke that nicotine. It's too obscene. No, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke nicotine. Suck cock, suck prick, suck it, suck clit, suck it, but don't smoke shit. Don't, 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 don't smoke that shit. Don't, 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 don't smoke the official government. Don't, 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 don't smoke. Don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. Make
sick. Stay in bed and lick your cigarette habit greed. One day's all you need, indeed, indeed. Smoke weed, put something green in between. Smoke weed perhaps, but don't smoke cigarettes. That nicotine, it's too obscene. Nope, nope, don't smoke the official government. Nope, 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 don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke.
Hey, this is great, man.